Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of An Emerging Forest on the 25th of March, 2018, the last week of March in 2018. Next Sunday will be April Fool's Day. And tonight, I'd like to spend the episode reminiscing and reflecting because between now and the next show, I will be moving, and there's several things that will be moving, one of which is my produce business, and I am very glad that that's been completely sorted out, and I signed a lease today, and I'm going to be moving a very short distance and using an improved garage for my business. It has an air conditioner, has temperature controls, and is a nice space, and also doesn't move my business geographically that much, so that there isn't, you know, I mean, customers and friends do learn where you are, and if you move a great deal, it's going to inconvenience them because they've learned a pattern, and basically you'd like them to keep that pattern as much as possible. Now, for the most part, sometimes that's not possible, and you're going to have to inconvenience people. But in this case, I was fortunate enough to receive an offer, and I took it. And so it'll be this next week, and probably for several more weeks after that, there'll be the usual moving adjustments to my the way I live my life, as always, when you change residence and change your patterns, because I won't be living in the same location as my business. There will be a commute that I'll have to move into. There'll be time spent doing that. And so it's going to be a very different life pattern for me. I would like to spend the hour, of course, talking to you if you would like to talk to me, and my number is 646-564-9714, and if you are interested enough to call in, we could talk about whatever you want to talk about. In general, my topic is always kind of the same, and it's all about overcoming your inertia and striking out into new territory for yourself. And just as I was listening to the intro music, I was, you see climbers, you see professional climbers, rock climbers, you see them compete in a set stage before an audience in a created scenario, not in a wild scenario. And they just have a little tip or a full palm surface that their palms can grip to, or they have two sides of something, or they have to have a certain amount of grip strength or a certain amount of push or a certain amount of being able to execute a standard jump and grip onto something else. And you think that's very analogous to how much surface does a vine plant need to have a grip in order to take that next step, in order to grab that purchase or whatever. And when is a vine plant not doing that? A vine plant is always doing that. It's always reaching and reaching and reaching and reaching. And as children, we're always reaching and reaching and reaching, and then we get to a certain point in our life, and for some reason we stop being so aggressive. And do we get overwhelmed? Do we get satiated? Is it enough? I would say for those people who stop, it's enough. They're where they should be, and it's not time to move. But I was like that for a lot of years. I was like that in my ideas of how I thought and how I perceived for a lot of years. And now I've become a sort of an investigator of where I am. I've become an investigator of self. Self as in, how do I perceive, how do I think about this, who told me what, and what do they want for me, and how can I go back to basics, literally say, how do my, how do my basic functions of my body work? How does my sight work? How does my body work? What are the basic rules? What is my basic physiology? Not as by taught by some priest, but as taught by common sense. And the priests sell a story. And if you look really, really hard at the story, you do a double or a triple take, because the story that they're selling, that everyone has a consensus of this is the way reality is, falls flat on its face and looks rather painful, but you can't really talk about it with anyone because no one wants to be not of the herd until you don't want to be of the herd anymore, till being part of the herd is too painful for you to continue doing. And I don't advertise my non-herdness to everyone. I advertise it to people who are interested, and I can see that they're interested in talking about things that aren't mainstream. Usually they bring it up first. Usually they lead into it first. But seeking a mechanism of personal change doesn't necessarily take you down that road of a perception change. But what I'm coming more and more to realize is I went through my life with a deep push away from people and knowing people and being with people and cultivating people to now being in a business that is people, the produce business is people, the radio business is people, to understanding that it's people who bring you your next thing. And so literally your life and you, the fertility of your life is the people that you reach out to, not necessarily keeping all of them, but the people that you keep. So you can reach out to someone and it's maybe not them, but it's the person that you meet through them. And then it's basically saying, who do I keep around me? What hallmarks of behavior do they all have? And I'm looking at the people who I've kept around me or that I really hold close to me and that really help me out and are really, I would consider, people that I rely on and people who I hope rely on me. And I see them as being people who aggressively continue to change their life every day. And whether they have a particular job, they're always looking to get more responsibility. They're always pushing. They're not being aggressive. They're not throwing elbows, but they're performing well. And they're making friends. And they understand that it is in making friends that, I mean, leadership is a people business, and leadership is a love of people business. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care if you're not my personality type and you're not super driven. I want to provide for you. I want to provide something under an emerging forest that's different from the present political service, which is a decreasing forest or a burning forest, if you want to put it that way. So an emerging forest is what I want to provide for people, and how I connect with people and how I offer this radio program to people is by saying exactly that. I want to interview people about their passions. I want to interview people who are growing their minds. I want to interview people who are interested in gardening, exploration of the self. And I have recently, because of past guests and talking to past guests and having them recommend people that I should connect with, I have a really awesome set of programs coming up. And literally just from, in one case, somebody calling me from out of the blue in Australia, because that's the way he does his LinkedIn practice. He actually picks up the phone and calls people. It doesn't matter where they are because he's got some interesting phone plans. So it doesn't matter where they are in the world. He calls them and chats with them. And we had a really good talk. And he said, sure, he'd love to be on my program. And why do I open myself up like that? Because it's not that person. It might be that person, but it's the people that I'll meet through that person. And it's the, and from his perspective, it's not necessarily me, but it's the people that he'll meet through me. And it's the flow. It's the willingness to flow. It's the willingness to reach out and through that person to reach out and through that person to reach out. It's willingness to reach out and out and out with a particular way of thinking an emerging forest, as opposed to a particular way of thinking, which the present society service is, which is a burning forest, a dying forest. So I wanted to celebrate tonight as the turning of a page. And I came here on September 28th, 2015, literally being dropped off in a car that I had sold to my old landlord in Princeton to get a couple of months rent money, and at a new place. I had $700 in my pocket, and I've been here approximately just about on the dot 2.5 years, and I'm leaving, and I came here with very little idea of, I have grown so much in this building and so much, but I haven't grown by being in this building. I've grown by talking to people. I've grown by being on LinkedIn and contacting people and having the gracious owner of this station just call me up out of the blue. Hey, I think you're a healer. And then 45 minutes later, he said, I actually like the person that you are a lot better than my illusion of who you were. Do you want a radio program? And I said yes, even though I had no idea what I was getting into. I had something that I wanted to communicate. I had something that I wanted to reach out with. I want to reach out to everyone who's saying, I don't understand this political consensus thing where I have to be a zombie under an agenda that I don't agree with. If something's wrong here, I need something else. Well, there's basically, you're not served by the present society. They know you're not served, and they're just basically like, okay, piss off, right? We don't care that we're not serving you. We hold, you're in the money system. It doesn't matter. Have a nice life, chewing your lip. Well, that's not satisfactory to me anymore. It's just something switched off in my life when I was, I believe it was the day I was shoveling snow outside of a friend in Lawrenceville's house that I was staying at. And I was thinking, I have this many dollars to pay back to banks. If I get a job that pays this much, how many years is it going to be before I pay that back to somebody who just snaps their fingers and dollars appear as an electronic entry? They do no effort to make that appear. They want me to pay back, blood and sweat for that. Now, there's a whole bunch of other details to go with that, and I'm not ungracious for their offering me credit. But in general, I'm ungracious for a fixed system. And actually, I've kind of changed my tune on that. I am looking at their achievement of their agenda with admiration and saying, okay, if I want to achieve my agenda, there is a model for achieving your agenda. You don't talk about it in public. You promote those from within the society who see it your way. You make them hire and hire people in charge, and then you just blow smoke up all the other people who don't agree with you and say there's such a thing as justice, which you'll never achieve because we're not piloting this boat in your direction, but we'll just introduce fairness and justice, even though the boat's going in that direction that you don't want to go in. That's the direction the boat's going, but we'll say there's justice and you can protest and scream to your heart's content. And God is fair and he hears you and go to church and say your mantras and feel absolved of responsibility for actually saying, their way's right. They had to fight for it. They had to fight for thousands of years for it. They still fight every single day for it. They've got millions of people on their side fighting for it. So how am I going to get my way? Gee, I think I'm going to have to look at their model and go, they're successful. How am I going to be successful? Should I adopt their model? Is it going to take a long time? Am I going to get my hands dirty? I think I am. Or, hey, at least there's a model. And I'm not going to basically say, well, gee, there's justice, and I'll get a crumb dropped to me someday. No, I'll never get a crumb dropped to me. I'll never get an emerging forest dropped to me because the boat's going in the direction with a burning forest on it. So what did I do here, and what are some of the highlights of what changed for me and some of the highlights of the last 2.5 years for me here? I started here with a very uncertain practice of how I was going to make a living. And for better or for worse, my income is still uncertain, but at least it's got legs now, and it's walking, and it's doing reasonably well, and I have a lot of income streams, and that's one of the first things that I learned, that you can't rely on one income stream, and that you have to basically put as many fishing rods into that stream as you can possibly dream up. And then just keep dreaming them up and putting them in and maintaining them and, you know, checking the bobber on each one and making more friends and making even more friends and just tending all of those rods, because all of those rods are a relationship. It's not, hey, I have a product. All of those rods are a relationship, and everybody knows what product you have. So if they want to use your products, they'll come to you, but the important thing is the relationship. And the important thing is the friendship you have with each and every person that you connect with. I started here, and I started tutoring. And one of the first lessons that I learned for tutoring from a friend of mine who happens to be in a completely different business organization was asking for less gets you a total lack of respect. Now, initially, you might think that you're actually giving someone a bargain and they're going to use your service more. But when you ask for $20 when you should be asking for $50 an hour, you're actually going to be disrespected and no one is going to value your service. So what do you get for that? You get a client who might not show up, might not pay, doesn't think that your service is any good, and therefore they're the poorer performing clients and they'll be a real pain in the ass to teach. But if you just change your price, same service, change your price to $40 an hour, you get a really solid client. Or you get a bunch of solid clients who basically say, this person has a degree, has many years of teaching, and the whole psychology of the interaction changes. It changes to one of they respect you, and they want to learn from you because you can teach, because you've said, this is the price for my service. It's a respectable price. The whole psychology changes just by your asking a different price. In March of the following year, I was given an opportunity, or I worked out an opportunity, to start the Produce Club at this location in Collingswood, extremely close to the place that I used to buy from in 2010 to 2012, when I had the Produce Club located on the main line in Radnor, Pennsylvania. And to draw from the previous example of being a tutor, the same psychology of price holds. And one, I had to learn that price means value to the customer. And if I actually was idealistic and charged only a certain markup, I was doing several things incorrectly. One is I operate in the market economy, so I buy things at the inflated market rate. I buy things like rent. I buy things like clothing. I buy other services. I pay for utilities. So if I'm buying at the full-priced market economy but selling my services, the produce, at a marked-up rate that I think is idealistic and fine, but can never satisfy my wish to buy services. Here I am, an idealist. Well, I wish I was a multimillionaire idealist and I could afford such philanthropy, but I can't afford such philanthropy. But I had to learn that, and it took me almost 2 years, from March of 2016 to March of 2018, to actually learn that and institute it, make my prices, you know, work and get respect from the client because I'm charging prices, and get influx of new people because the whole psychology changes. I'm charging a value discount price. And people are attracted to value discount prices. They aren't attracted to bargain basement prices that mean that there's no value. Oh, there must be something wrong with what you're selling if you're selling it for such a small price. So it is the bottom of the hour, and I would like to play Dave the Bard's Green and Gray. See you in about 8 minutes, everyone. Talk to you then.
Why do you appear to me? For I and you fell from grace. You want dominion over this place. The piper smiled to the priest, he said, I was lord of animals, the wild hunt I led, until your God came here and with his jealous hand, it was he who wanted dominion over this land. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor white, please hear what I say. I'm green and gray. All evil comes from your hand. The piper said, if evil is where it lies in the hearts of man. But you lead us, oh, you tempt us to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said, whatever happened to free will? Then the grove lay empty. The priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn, and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bowed, as the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm far.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Welcome back, everyone. So, value is a very key selling point. And if you undersell yourself, you get a total lack of respect. And selling yourself is you're selling yourself in the marketplace. And as you grow a relationship with people, you can actually acquaint them, and some people will be very interested in actually going with you to the market and seeing that side of the business. and seeing the other price levels. Some people will never go with you. Some people will never be acquainted with that. And you have to love the people where they are. And Laurie Cagno just keeps saying this to me. She's wonderful for saying this to me. Because I get disappointed in people, or I used to get disappointed in people. And universal love means you love yourself. You love where you are. And what you want is for everyone else to universally love and accept you for where you are. They're not going to do that. But that's the concept of universal love. Everyone is a bit of information. Everyone is a vibrating soul on the game board of the thing that we're participating in. They're there for you. The entire collection of game pieces, vibrating little souls, create the game that we're in. And we're here because we love it and because it allows us to collect more experiences that build our souls. That's why we're here. That's why we have certain viewpoints. That's why we open up. That's why we stay the same. That's why people are like they are. They're there primarily for themselves, but they're also there for you. And you can't tell by how they appear to you how they appear to themselves, because it could be you only see your projection of your universe onto them and they seek something completely different. So you can't. There's no real way to have consensus about reality, because you have your reality to someone about your reality, but they have their reality. You're hardly even sure that they're receiving the same words that come out of your mouth. It takes a long time to have such a relationship where you're actually understanding the other person and really voyaging into a lot of a deep relationship. And still within that deep relationship, one day you turn around and something has changed in them, or they're showing you a facet that they're showing you a roadway in them that you had never seen before. Can be at that point that you see something in them that you're just like, oh, wait a minute, how come I never saw that years ago? And it's just like, it's done. It's done. You're done at that point. But you've been with that person for so many years, you thought you knew them. We don't know anyone. We don't even know ourselves. We're so complicated. There's so much back history. There's so much experience. And if you've danced across the dance floor to any extent, you've done things that this society would basically say, oh, we're kind of not proud of that. But you were doing it to form your character. You were also doing it to be the counterparty in advance for other people. You can't be whole without being both halves. This society has so many lines about what you can do and who you should be and how you should act and what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. My viewpoint is you need to be all of it. There's no lines in the forest. There's no, hey, the lion can behave this way, but that's naughty. You don't tell the apes or the butterflies or the crows, you know, I'm sorry, there's an ethic here and you're not allowed to predate on that person when they're just waking up and haven't had their morning coffee yet. No, it's an unruled space. and we live in an unruled space that has added rules that you can either look at and take seriously or say, I'm exploring the space and I'll understand what the rigor is, and the rigor is that there's these lines that I need to abide by and step lightly about. But if I need to explore them, I'll just have to go there. I don't practice that, but I see that as wholeness. I practice the rules. I practice one particular set of rules that's the me that's now. The me that's now is very different from the me that was any number of years ago or any number of weeks ago. And so I met some people, namely my co-host for this radio show, who lives and works in the San Jose area of California. We explored a lot of very controversial or mind-changing ideas. And that was another thing that happened while I was at this address, that I started a very deep friendship with Christy. I've grown a very deep friendship with my acting mentor and someone who is helping me a lot in the produce club recently, Valerie Logan and her husband, Joseph. In addition to that, some of the really deep contributors to the Produce Club include Robin and Michael Brownfield, who live three blocks from here and have helped me out immeasurably with moving refrigerators and taking doors off of residences and putting them back on after the refrigerators were in and out. And then Carrie Lynn Morse and her husband, Scott Morse, for her coaching as to how to interact with people and her coaching about being tough and her help with a lot of the software and a lot of the ins and outs of Facebook that I've learned from her. And then there have been so many other people. There have been so many people who have come to be interested. Debbie Forbes, the mayor's wife of Oakland, stepped in immediately and wanted to host shares at her coffee shop in the next town over. And she came here literally every single week for the first shares and taking them back to her coffee shop. And just at the point that I was able to get a way to transport them, she was hemming me, but it was just natural. I had found some way to a way to transport them, and she was just saying, "I feel this is a good time for you to walk a little bit more on your own." And every person who comes to the Produce Club, whether it's someone who actually the couple comes and they hear my pitch, or one person comes and the wife comes and listens to me talk about what I'm doing here, and then I never see her again. The husband comes every week to pick up. However that works, or the people that I've supported in their food practice, their very deep support, because what I provide literally can't be afforded from the other sources. I mean, if you have a limited budget and you come to me and you buy things and you buy in bulk, you get a really great price, and you are able to afford a lifestyle that is unaffordable if you go to the retailers. So literally, you change your life. You go from one ability to eat produce to a completely different world. Plus, establishing relationships with that, like that, with people, solid relationships where they know, hey, I know their drink. I know what they want each week. And if I'm someplace where I can get a really good deal, I don't even have to contact them. I know they have my back. I know they want that case. I know they want those cucumbers. I know they want those apples. It's just, you know, they're super pleased. I basically say, you know, tell them the price, and they're just like constantly giving me feedback, constantly saying, hey, Alan, I know you could offer this price, but that's not what's healthy for the club. I want you to actually charge me more. That's the kind of people that I have in the club. That's the kind of people that have changed my outlook on offering value and have changed me into more of a businessman and more of somebody who understands that being in business means that you're going to make money, and you're going to price your services at the value level. You're going to price them so that your business is respected, because you want to grow your brand. You want to grow your business. You want it to be respected. So you have to charge a certain amount for it. Otherwise, you absolutely get no respect, and you get crappy customers, and you get customers that think that your stuff is poor, and that also they can take advantage of you, and they can do things like that, because they don't respect you. They don't respect your stuff. So I had a lot of customers like that. They did pay. It was growing, but you know, the product was not respected. And I, you know, by happenstance, by pure luck, I went away from going to a particular place where I could charge like super cheap, and all of those customers just dried up like in an instant. Some customers remained, and I took a big financial hit for a while, and now I have a much better mix of products coming in, and I'm getting the kind of customer I want and the kind of customer who's in tune with what I'm doing right now, and basically changing and understanding, you know, what I want to offer. But I haven't learned these lessons just about my produce business. I've learned these lessons about my life. So I approach every day with these lessons in my pocket. I would just say, okay, I'm going to be blind now about all the lessons I learned in my produce club life, and I'm just going to go out and continue my other life without those lessons. No, of course, you apply them across the board. And then I apply my esoteric lessons about common sense to my produce business. Overall, I meet the customer where they are, and I still have to remain with my customer service mind where people are, not where I am. I have to remain conversant with people. So I have to remain conversant with day-to-day politics. I have to remain conversant with what the sports teams are doing. I have to, you know what the NCAAs are doing and what's reasonable. I don't watch movies, so I'm not conversant with that. But I know that as a young person, I walked a socially isolated path for a reason, part of which I've figured out. But now I'm being aggressive in placing myself in a people business, because interaction is where you grow your ability to make things happen on a larger scale. Produce club run by one guy gets to be that big. But if you're going to grow the Produce Club beyond that, first you're going to need people who believe strongly in it and are willing to contribute. And that's what I've got, and that's what I'm growing. That's where I'm at right now. I don't have the ability to employ people yet. I really hope in the next 18 months that I'm going to get there. And I have every reason to believe that. But I have to also be realistic, and I have to keep my other income streams tended and healthy. I need to keep my cleaning jobs healthy, you know, my cleaning customers healthy. I need to keep my the people that I do ditch digging, literally, for. I need to keep those customers happy. I need to grow my reputation as someone who really works hard. And I need to, you know, keep my relationships just open. And I am so interested in not the assumed path of where my life is going to take me, because I have no assumptions. Like, you could assume, oh, this is going to go this way and this is going to go that way. I am interested in how it will go, not in how I presume it will go. I'm not going to plan for tomorrow. I'm going to think about tomorrow and think I'm going to do certain things and try to make plans with other people, but how things actually occur is the best to myself. And it is the gift that my soul brings to me, and it is the gift of the next second event that your soul brings to you that you need to receive as the greatest gift, because that's what it is. Society might say, hey, you just had this injustice done to you, or society might color it and said, oh, this was a quote-unquote bad event in your life. Society is not the unruled forest. Society has an agenda behind it. Society is, as I said at sort of the outset of this program, providing the service of the burning forest. It's the ship of the burning forest. And if you see it that way and you say, but wait a minute, those are things that I've allowed to be placed in my mind, but if I follow those, I'm following the agenda of the burning forest, you can then start to have a change in your perspective of following the agenda or examining the agenda and seeing how it works and seeing where it goes and saying, am I of that agenda, or maybe I need to be of that agenda when I'm at my job that's run by that agenda, and what part of my life can I actually run on a different agenda? And what is my agenda? What is my way? Then you begin to explore, who am I? And you begin to explore, what are my passions and what's important to me? And that's what an emerging forest is about. It's about the discovery of who you are underneath all of this, all of society. And then you begin to value your way. You begin to say, that's my way. That's society's way out there, and I work for society, I work in society, or I serve society because I want to eat and I want to have a house over my head, you know, a roof over my head, and I want to have these other things. But then part of that reimbursement that I get for my time in society, I work on myself, and I work on the things that are important to me. And if I can't talk about my way, I don't talk about my way. But I work on my way because that's what's important to me. And You know, every single episode of An Emerging Forest is always about your way or the guest's way or what the guest wants to accomplish, whether it's a festival, whether it's a different way of doing business at the Ahimsa House in West Philadelphia, whether it's a gardener, whether it's an artist, whether it's a musician, whether it's an actor. It doesn't matter. It's their passion. They have discovered that that's the most important thing in their life, and that they might be looking at it in terms of just value and what it brings to them deep inside, or they might actually be looking at, you know, okay, is this something that society approves of or doesn't approve of, but I still need to explore it. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this program, for tuning in either during its broadcast today, March 25th, 2018, from 9 till 10. I am only going to stay on for 1 hour because I would like to watch Pope tonight. It's on CNN being broadcast for the first time this episode because I believe that the segment that myself and a bunch of other cardinals, persons portraying cardinals, I believe that will be in this episode. So that's on CNN starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. My name is Alan Ritter. I'm the host of An Emerging Forest. I run a small produce co-op in the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area called the Produce Club. You can find that at produceclub.us, or you can get connected to that and or this program and or to me by emailing me at RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Have a wonderful week. Explore your passions and be divine or be yourself, but mostly be yourself. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.